colouring in our trees. And a little bit of time went on, and then it wasn't just the alarms that we could hear, but we could hear the sirens. And it then triggered that maybe there might be a fire, and maybe it was in the building that we were in, on the top floor. Now, you'll be pleased to know I survived, as did all my classmates. Warnings. What do you do with warnings? Do you take them seriously, or are you apathetic? The book of Hebrews has four warnings in it, and it's going to form the basis of our series for the next 5 weeks. Now, the danger for us is that we read or we hear these warnings and we just do nothing about it, like me and my class. Now, we were okay that the fire was down the other end of the building, but the fireys did say we were stupid and reckless for just ignoring the fire alarm that was sounding. All right, we could have put our life and theirs in danger. All right, we don't want to do that with God. When it comes to God's word, his warnings to us, his message to us, we don't want to be stupid and reckless. And my fear is that we will. That we can so easily just come and read God's word and hear sermons, and for it not to go to heart, or for us not to go out really thinking about what it is that we have heard. So I'm praying that that won't be the case for me as I prepare these sermons, and for all of us as we read and hear God's word over the next 5 weeks. So Hebrews 1 and 2 is what we're looking at this morning. So please do have that open in front of you, whether that be your Bible or your phone. Please have it open so you can see it. There are Bibles up on the table if you need one. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, you have spoken to us, and we do want to hear your word. So we ask that you remove our apathy and any complacency that we might have, that we see this morning and right throughout this series the glory of Christ, and that as a result we fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. All right, so have you got Hebrews open? Hebrews 1. Have a look there. You've heard it read as well. What do you notice about those very first lines? What do you notice? I compare this to other books, other letters that you know in the New Testament. It just gets straight into it, doesn't it? It doesn't tell us who wrote it. There's no greeting, who it's being written to. There's no grace and peace from God the Father. It's just bang, straight into it. Now, it is a letter, a fairly long letter. In many ways, it's more like a sermon. Right at the end in chapter 13, verse 22, it says there, "Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter." It's 13 chapters. It's not that short. But it's a word of exhortation. That's what this is. It's a letter, but it's exhortation. It's a call to action, to commitment. So what is it saying? As it launches straight in, the writer says, God has spoken. All right, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Right, we know that to be true. God spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Moses. He spoke to David. He would speak on the mountain, in a burning bush. He spoke to a donkey, through a donkey. God spoke through many people in many ways, Through all his messengers and prophets, God spoke his word to his people. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, which is still now, in these last days, he has spoken to us. How? What does it say? By his Son. God speaks to us today by his Son. And I want us to hear this morning what is said about the Son. Now these things most of us know, but maybe we forget or we just take it too lightly. Maybe like the person who lives right on Sydney Harbour and then they just take it for granted how good it is that they have it. All right, we don't want to make the same mistake with the Son. So I'm going to do little more than read through this and just make some comments. Just hear what is said about the Son. Try to feel the weight of these words. See the greatness of the Son. All right, so picking it up, end of verse 2 there. All right, God has spoken to us by his Son, whom God appointed heir of all things. The Son is heir of all things. Think of God's estate. Think how big God's estate is. This world is his. The Son is the heir of it all. Not just part of it, all of it. It is all his. That gives us a picture right into the future. The inheritance to come, the Son will inherit it all. But then in the next few words, it takes us all the way back to the beginning. Through whom he made the universe. Through the Son, God made the universe. So we go from creation all the way through to the inheritance. And if you like, it's all about the Son. He will inherit all. He was there at creation. God created through him. Verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Right? Like Father, like Son. The radiance of his glory. Jesus reflects the very glory of God. And he is of very being as God. This is the Son. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. Now that's no surprise, is it? Like if he is creator and he's the heir of all things, that in between times he holds it all together. That's what the Son does. The Son holds everything now together. He sustains all things by his powerful word. And he provides purification for sins. The Son deals with the human need of knowing God. The Son, he provides purification for sins. He provides forgiveness. The Son. He dies on the cross. When you consider these things about the Son, that's pretty mind-blowing that he would die on the cross. He provides purification for sins. By his blood, we are made clean. We are put right with God. Right? The death of the Son is paramount in our relationship with God. Then it says, after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He is exalted. Exalted. This is no knighthood. He is exalted. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. All right, which tells us what? He rules. He's there at the Father's side. The Son, he rules all things, but he sits, which tells us that his job on earth is done. He has provided purification for sins. And having come to earth so that we can know God, he is exalted and he sits. His job on earth is done and now he rules. Verse 4, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. God has spoken. He has spoken to us. He has spoken to us by his Son. This is Jesus. This is the one whom we worship, who we follow, who we belong to. I see that the greatness of Jesus in these words. I marvel in the one who we worship. The one who gave up his life for his Father and for us so that we can know God. This is Jesus. This is the Son. This is the one whom we worship. Now for centuries and centuries, God spoke. God spoke through his messengers, through the prophets. Each Old Testament book reveals a little bit more of God's plan of salvation. Bit by bit, God's plan, God's purposes for the world is being unfolded. You get to the end of the Old Testament and things just stop. There's 400 years of silence where God does not speak. They don't hear from God. Nothing. Why? Has the story finished? Was there nothing more to say? Had it all just come to nothing? No, God sent his Son. And God has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. The one that all the Old Testament was leading up to, he comes. And he not only speaks salvation, he is salvation. Right throughout the Old Testament, they're speaking of salvation and the one to come. The Son then comes and he has spoken. As Carol read it, what did you notice from this point on in the chapter? What does it seem to be about? It's all about angels then. I've often wondered then, why all the focus, why all the mention about angels? And I think I now know that it's not because these Hebrews had a fascination with angels. It's not that they were into angel worship or that they thought that Jesus was an angel. I think it's to show the greatness of the Son. Right? Angels, think about angels. Angels were held pretty high, weren't they? Right? Angels are God's messengers. God would send angels. Now, angels would often appear in human form. Angels would serve, they would minister before the very throne of God. They would bring God's message. They would guide and protect God's people. Angels have a pretty special, important role in God's plans. But the Son is greater. The Son is superior. Verse 4, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. This is the Son. We're to see the greatness of the Son. And he's greater in part because of his name. He's the Son, God's Son. But in what follows here, we're given a selection of Old Testament citations which show that greatness. Comparing the Son, Jesus, to angels. So just hear what is said. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God." So the Son is there spoken of as being God. "Your throne, O God," this is what God says, "will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." Right? It's talking about the Son. "They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." This is the Son, the greatness of the Son. Verse 13, "To which of the angels did God ever say, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Now that's us, isn't it? And the angels to serve us. And see here the greatness of the Son. God has spoken. He has spoken to us. He has spoken to us by his Son. What's the author going to say next? He's built up his case. He's shown us the Son, the greatness of the Son. And now he wants to make his point. Chapter 2, verse 1. "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away." This is when he looks them in the eyes and says, like, this is the Son, therefore we must pay careful attention to him. Because this is how God has spoken to you. So we must listen to him. The Son, Jesus, he is great indeed, so we must listen to him. The danger that is written here for us is that we won't, and that we will drift away or just drift along. And I think that is a big danger for us today. Especially the drifting along. I can see it in my life, and I can see it in many of yours, people who call this their church. Well, we've just finished holidays. Did you get to the beach over summer, these Christmas holidays? Did you get to the beach? All right, so that's about half of it seems. The beach I go to most is Copacabana. So the other end of McMaster's Beach for about 20 years. I've headed up there about twice a year. I love that place, love the beach. But like so many beaches, it is known for its rips. I was there on New Year's Eve with some of my family, some of the niece and nephews. So we went down to the beach and we went to the rock pool so that the kids can go in there. Now, when it was time for our swim, very tempting to go just next to the rock pool. Like, it's a bit inconvenient. The flags are about 100 metres down. The surf is happening just on the other side of the rock pool. Very easy just to go there. But there is a rip there, isn't there? Right? There's danger. Right? Do you want your kids swimming in the rip? Now, where do you teach your kids, like, it's the rock pool, or if they're older, it's in the between the flags. Why should we be any different? And not just when it comes to the surf, but when we're thinking about life, when we're thinking about the Son, Jesus, why should it be any different for us? We ought to hear the warning, know the danger, and hear what God says. At the beach, you know the right thing to do is between the flags. And here, God shows us the safe, the right thing for us to do, so we do not drift away. Hear the rest of the warning. Verse 2 of chapter 2. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Are you following what he said there? Right, saying we better listen to the Son. The message that the angels spoke, the prophets, the message spoken over all those years, that proved to be reliable. What they said came true. The warnings of judgment, what happened to Israel? They did go into exile. They were warned and they were punished. Those who disobeyed or took God's word lightly, there were consequences. Those who drifted away, not good. How much more this message, when God speaks to us through his Son, that we listen to him. For he is so much greater than the angels. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Especially when Jesus, he doesn't just bring the message of salvation. He is salvation. What are the dangers for us? Here, the NIV uses the word ignore. Ignore such a great salvation. Other versions might say neglect. Neglect such a great salvation. I think that could be a danger for us, that we neglect the great salvation, what it means on our life and the decisions that we make. I don't think for us we are outrightly ignoring it, no. We have responded to Jesus, we are his people, we are part of his church. But the neglecting of it in our life could be a danger for us, which means we can drift away. The danger for us, not so much thinking wrong things of Jesus, but I think the danger for us is not to think high enough of Jesus. As I've been reading Hebrews 1 and 2, it's really given me a big view of Jesus. It's shown me again the greatness of Jesus, and it's put things in the grand scheme. Right from creation, Jesus, the Son, being there and involved in creation, all the way through to him being the heir of all things, him sustaining everything in between, and him coming to earth, dying on the cross being central to it all. It's easy for us, and it's hard. We can just live day to day, and we can forget this grand scheme, the big picture, the big plan of salvation that God has. We can forget Jesus and the exalted place that he is in today. Now, many of the men, well, you're all invited, men, we're going to consider this a little bit more on Thursday night as we gather at my place and look at the tensions of managing work and family and church and how we hold all those things together, our day-to-day life, but under this grand scheme of what God is doing. So that Jesus isn't just part of our life, another thing, that church isn't just another thing of what we do, but that the Son is our life. The blokes will consider that a little bit more on Thursday night. And maybe in your life group, life groups have or are beginning this week. That's great to see so many have signed up and are going to be in those groups. Maybe in your groups you can consider together what the dangers might be and how you might neglect this great salvation. You as an individual, but maybe us as a church as well. And we can think together what can help us to be firmly anchored so that we don't drift away. You'll notice in this series, in the graphic, I think it's on your handout, there is a little anchor in that graphic. Right, that is so significant. Because as we look at this, this isn't about us like trying harder. Jesus is our anchor. He is the one that we've got to cling on to. We've got to live with Jesus as your anchor so that whatever waves and the currents of life that come your way, and for some of you, it might be washing over you right now, that you will still remain strong and not moved. Because you know the greatness of the Son. You're trusting Him. He is your anchor in life. Right? Other things all around you might be uncertain. The waves of life. Busyness of life. But you will stay firm. You won't drift if you're trusting Jesus. If He is your anchor. Not ignoring the great salvation. Not neglecting. Now, there are some people here that I am deeply concerned for. Some people that we don't see anymore. Now, maybe they haven't wandered away from Jesus, but they have wandered away from meeting with His people for whatever reason. That's a danger. As soon as I start thinking about other people, though, I'm reminded of the plank from last week, and looking at my own life. Not just looking at others, but looking at my own life. And how I might be drifting, or how just the pursuits of the world, the current of the world, can take me away from being fixed on Jesus. So all of us need to look at our own life, how we might be drifting, how this world might be pulling us away from Jesus and His greatness and the glory to come. Because the message of the world is pretty loud. But God has spoken to us in His Son, and we must pay careful attention to that. I heard a great line recently, John Stott. He would rise each morning and say, "Good morning, Lord. What are we going to do together today?" I reckon that's a great line. That's a great way, isn't it, of not neglecting the great salvation. Starting each day with the Lord, knowing that as you go through your day, you're not on your own, but that the Son, Jesus, is with you. I was thinking we could get to the end of chapter 2. We're not going to do that. But I do encourage you to read it. Keep reading to the end of chapter 2 and see there, because it keeps talking about the greatness of the Son. But then it turns a little bit more to His humanity. So read that and reflect more on that and how He is salvation for us. But let me pray. God, You have spoken to us by Your Son. So let us pay careful attention to Him every day. Amen.